All right. So, of course, this is our midweek service. So Pastor Myers did ask me, he didn't want our church family to go without the midweek message. Now, I also know, I know what you're thinking. Normally, we're out 10 minutes from now, right? Okay. I anticipate, believe it or not, getting out around that time, okay? So we'll cut out the tear-jerking illustration, the two poems, and the joke, okay? So we'll still get out on time. I do want to thank the students. Clear back to October. My office is right over where they practice, and from October all the way forward, they've been working on those songs. The food was great. Thank you very much. Recently, Pastor Treiber on KNVBC said this. He said, this season, read the Christmas story as often as you can. He said, read it with your family, the beginning of the season, throughout the season, and at the end of the season on Christmas Day. So we're going to do that tonight. If you could please turn your Bibles, if you have them, to Luke chapter 2. Like I said, I am watching the time. 9 minutes, we're normally out, okay? So we're going to try to keep it close to that. I may go a little over. I'll try not to. Luke chapter 2, please. The first couple years of my marriage, honest answer, self-admittedly, I was a humbug, okay? I said, you know what, we're going to get a cheap, small, fake tree, all right? Now, from what I heard, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to get a real tree, all that kind of stuff. But if you have a fake tree, it's nice. You're not a humbug. I know you get into the season, you love Jesus, all that kind of stuff. But I didn't care to see the lights, didn't take time to see, get the music going. But a couple years back, I decided, so you know, this season comes every year for an entire month, and so we're going to get into it. My family's going to enjoy it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to think about it. And we really, really, really have got into the Christmas season. We decorate the house. I used to say that the sweaters, they're for millennials. I don't do that stuff. This year we went out, we all got the sweaters, my kids, myself, my wife, and we did the whole nine yards. But I like it. I love the season. I love the weather. Now, I know it was a little warm the last couple of days, but at least in the evening time, it's cool. How many of you are like me, kind of polar bearish, penguinish? You don't like the hot? How many of you prefer the hot? Where's my sister? Sue, right there. She lives in Cambodia. She said she'd rather it be 80, 90 degrees. I said, no way. Where's your Christmas spirit there? But I do. I love it. I love the pumpkin spice lattes, the peppermint mochas, and all that kind of stuff that comes only this time of the year. But most importantly, I love the Christmas story because recently in my Sunday school class, 2 weeks in a row, we've read the Christmas story. In this past week, we read through a bunch of the Christmas songs, and we looked at the words, and we thought about what they mean. And if we'll take time in the hustle, the bustle, and really the commercialization of this season, we stop and we meditate, we will realize all that we do, the reason we have a play like this, the reason we're here in God's house, the reason we call ourselves God's people is because it started on that first Christmas night 2,000 years ago. And I hope that we won't get caught up in everything the world says Christmas is all about. I hope we'll meditate and think on what it really is. Luke chapter 2, if you will, please. Let's read the Christmas story here together. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Verse 3. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph went also out of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was, here it is, that when they were there, the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord came upon them. Look here, verse 10. The angel said, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Here it is. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Look at verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace. We get a lot of our songs that are sung at Kohl's or Starbucks or wherever you are from this passage right here. Goodwill towards men. Came to pass as the angel was gone away, the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing. Look, verse number 16. They came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, it's one of our points here, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning the child. I'm watching the time. Normally we're out in 6 minutes. I have three quick reminders. All I want to do tonight is remind us what Christmas, based on this story, what Christmas did for us. Number one, what did Christmas do for us? And I hope we'll remember these things throughout this season. Let's not let it come and let it go and as God's people forget what it's all about. Number one, Christmas brought us peace on earth. What does that mean? Luke 2:14, the angel said, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace. Look, for those of us that were saved, let's be honest. There was a time where we were unwilling. We were incapable. We were unable. We were undeserving. We were unqualified to meet God's standard of righteousness. There was no peace with God. We didn't meet God's standard. But in fact, the Bible says that we were children of wrath. God's wrath abode on us. There was a barrier between us and God. But then Jesus came. And Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And now because Jesus Christ, not only do we have peace with God in heaven, but we have peace in our hearts here on this earth. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, we don't have any peace. We have a peace that passes all understanding. Look, when the world looks at us, they might wonder, how do you not stress it? Look, we know about North Korea. We know about ISIS. We know, and they say, how can you not stress? How can you have a peace? How do you not worry about it? We know about the political turmoil, okay? We know about Me Too and all our politicians and all that junk going on. We know about that, but we also know where we're going when we die. And we know the fact that when we stand before God, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Christmas brought, number one, peace. Let's thank God for the peace He brought to us as His people this season. Number two, moving along. Christmas brought us access to God. Access to God. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. We heard that plenty of times here during the play, meaning God, which is interpreted, God with us. Look, before we were saved, there was a wall of partition up between us and God. Only one time per year could one man, the high priest, go in and make atonement for the sins of the people. But Jesus came. And on that first Christmas, He was born. He wasn't just born. He followed through and lived a perfect, a holy, a sinless life. But He didn't stop there. At the end of His life, He looked to His Father. He said, I finished the work I came to do. And when He said, it is finished, you know what happened? That veil that separated between man and the holiest, it was ripped in two. It was torn up. And it opened up access between man and God. Not only that, before we were saved, there was a barrier between us and God called sin. But those of us that have placed our trust in Jesus Christ, when we did, Jesus Christ, through His blood, broke down that barrier. And now, whether we're going through a good time or a hard time, we have access to the holiest. Whether we're sick or whether we're healthy, we have access to God. And any time of the day, any season, I can come to Him and I have access to God through Jesus Christ. Christmas brought us access to God. I hope this season we're taking advantage of that access that we have. I hope this morning we took advantage of that access. 2 minutes, 1 point. Number three. Christmas brought us good news to share. Luke chapter 2, 10 to 11, the angel said, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings, good news, of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What did the shepherds do? When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. So what's the point? Those of us that have been saved, because of Christmas, we have been given the greatest news the world has ever had. And by the way, you know the greatest thing that we can do? I hope we soak up this season. I hope we remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. But more importantly, you know the greatest gift that we can give to a lost and a dying world? It's the same gift those shepherds took when they saw the baby there on Christmas. They went out and they said, we've got good news. We're going to go tell everybody we know. The greatest gift we can give to the world is the news of the gospel. Amen. Now, maybe you're here tonight. Say, well, I don't have that peace. I don't have a relationship with God. I'm not just making this stuff up. That's what God's word says. You might say, I'm a sinner. I don't know if he'd accept me. Here's the good thing. Well, the first part's not good. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, on our own merit, by our own righteousness, we could not reach God's standard. We could not. However, the reason that God sent down his son to die and to shed his blood was to reconcile those differences between us and God. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness, there's no payment for sins. And so Jesus Christ came not just to be born on Christmas, but to die and to shed his blood for our sake. That's what it's all about. If you have never accepted Christ, I'd encourage you, why don't you take him up on his offer? That gift is right there in front of you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave two times. He gave at Christmas and he gave on the cross. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God has an amazing gift. Those of us that are saved, let's remember what Christmas did for us. If you've never accepted God's gift, I encourage you, trust Christ today. And if you have questions about that, feel free to see one of the staff, and we can explain to you how you can be at peace with God, how you can become a child of God. Let's stand together and let's pray. We're not going to have an invitation. Again, so thankful for the students, Brother Chim, Jeriel, all the ladies, the men that put this together. It was good. I hope we won't just say, oh, it was a nice play and go home. Let's soak up the Christmas season. Let's soak up what it means and what it does for us, what it continues to do for us. Let's pray.